but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
You know, a subject that comes up frequently on the show, I almost think they should be a, it comes up so frequently they should be a sponsor of the show. It's Costco. I enjoy the Costco. I like the Costco experience. Now, there's things with the Costco experience like humanity that drive me bonkers. People drive me crazy. Steven, you worked at Costco. What was that like?
It is wild, a wild place, especially if you go like on a Saturday or Sunday and you're working there. It is a zoo. It is a bunch of animals just running around getting stuff. And then we talk
animals.
Yeah, and then you talked about the rain. When it rains at Costco, the parking lot is absolutely insane, and you have to have your head on a swivel. It is a wild place.
It is this bouillabaisse of humanity. Right out of that soup is Angie Machado, BeaverBlitz.com. She is the owner. She is the publisher. She is the operator. She went to Costco today because when I texted her and said, "Hey, I need you on the show," she said, "I'm in Costco." What was the Costco like? Give us your scouting report.
I love Costco. I always need stuff. So, I mean, when you have a family, you got to go. And yeah, but hey, John, you saved me so much money because I like got in and got out and did not look around.
All right. So you didn't buy.
It was busy.
Yeah. What did you make an impulse buy or did you stay to the list?
Okay. So I'm not a list person at all. And then I always get home and be like, oh crap, I totally forgot something. But I did. I mean, I have a 17-year-old son and a husband, so it's all the grass-fed chomp sticks, grass-fed beef, chicken. We have graduated from Dino Nuggets now, and now it's the Bear Nugget. And they had their little chocolate advent calendar. So both my sons said they didn't want them, but I always get one for my parents, and they like to share the little chocolate advent calendar. So that was my only off the grid. I did not buy myself any clothes because I have reached old age now where I will like, oh, that's a sweet deal on that sweater. I might as well just buy it.
Yeah. What kind of seasonal attire do they have out at the Costco now? Is it like raincoats or are they on to spring or what? No.
I was like, I got to get like moving so that I'm not in the middle of Costco when John Canzano calls.
I love it. Angie Machado, Beaver Blitz with us. All right. We've been talking about Trent Bray. We've been talking about the reactive move from Scott Barnes, the firing of Jamie Christian. How is that going over with your followers and your readers?
Yeah, I mean, our fans are, you know, they're pretty dialed in. Most of them thought that was way too late, the Jamie Christian info. There's a lot that thinks that there needs to be some more movement in the coaching staff. I wrote my column today. I do a Monday morning column called That's What She Said. Kind of, it's usually about football. It's Monday morning football. I do have an overall section, and I actually think it's bigger than Trent Bray at this point. I think it's an entire department that's broken, and so that's kind of been the discussion today in the lodge.
Yeah, and I think I love that. That's What She Said is perfect. I love that. So are we talking about Scott Barnes? I mean, without talking about Scott Barnes, and
yeah. Well, okay. I mean, yeah, there's Barnes. There's Blaylock. You know, I was able. I know you talked to him. I talked to him on Friday. This whole Blueprint Sports stuff. I just think communication's been bad all along. There's been a lot of drop balls. So it's been a major contentious point in the lodge at Beaver Blitz.
I think that Scott Barnes has been busy. I want to give him that benefit of the doubt, but I didn't like the move either because it's so reactive and it was so. I mean, to me, it's pandering to the fan base. You're almost being gratuitous and saying, okay, we'll fire the special teams coach. Is that good enough? How do you weigh Barnes being busy with the Pac-12 rebuild and Barnes maybe getting his eye off the ball at Oregon State? Is that a factor in your mind?
I think so. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying he hasn't had a lot on his plate. There's a lot going on, kind of outside of you know, football and basketball. But he does over, I mean, football and basketball right now are winning at under a 40%, right around a 40% clip. That, those are your two revenue sports. That's not going to get it done in this new era of you know, the Pac-12. I think what really bothered people too is, and this is going back, but Oregon State gets a new president back against the wall, and you work yourself a pay raise. That's, you know, that hasn't set well with the longtime, you know, fans as well. So lots and lots. Like I said, it's a lot deeper for Oregon State fans than just Coach Bray and football. But, you know, and I felt Barnes has been kind of MIA this whole football season. So not that he can say a lot. I mean, I fans, I think, can be overreactive at times. And, you know, well, that statement was vanilla and he didn't, well, what, he can't come out pitchforks and, you know, fire and brimstone. But, you know, it's, I think a lot of fans are still a little too little too late right now.
Oregon State has got these games with Wake Forest and Lafayette and Tulsa and two games with Washington State, and there's some chances to win. Is anything good enough? I mean, if they win four down the stretch, is that good enough for people to be like, okay, wait a minute, we see something? Or has the damage been done in your mind, Angie?
Yeah, I think the damage is done in a lot of ways. Because that those wins aren't going to move the needle. Wake Forest, I think Washington State will kind of, but, you know, this is a team, I think, with, and there's talent. You know, the people that say that, oh, well, there's no talent and all the, you know, that's not true. There is plenty of talent on this team. This team with really good coaching, I think, could be at a four wins, be at four wins easily right now with really, like, solid coaching. I think with mediocre coaching, this team's a three-win team. So, you know, you can't put all this on the players. I know Coach Bray has said over and over, players, you know, have to execute. And it reminds me back to the Gary Anderson, you know, players make plays. They all have their little buzzwords for it. But at the end of the day, as a teacher, as a coach, mentor, whatever you're doing in life, if what you're teaching isn't getting through the right way to the, you know, your students or your, you have to change up how you're doing it because there's a disconnect at some level.
I am talking with Angie Machado, BeaverBlitz.com. This $3.6 million that they owe Trent Bray is a problem. Do you get the sense that they could talk to Bray at the end of the year and convince him it's his idea to take a demotion back to D coordinator, go out and hire a Paul Christ and start over? I mean, is that out there as a possibility, or what do you see in Trent Bray's eyes when you talk with him?
You know, I do think, I mean, I think Trent Bray still wants to win, and I think he feels that he can. There's that competitiveness in him. I also know he loves Oregon State. This is why he's here doing what he's doing right now. So, you know, he could be in East Lansing with Jonathan Smith as a DC. So could that happen? Possibly. You know, it's interesting. You know, there's Bill Orem's tried to get him on the hot mic a few times of, you know, do you like being a head coach? And, I mean, he's in it. He's competitive. It's just a matter of, you know, like I said, end of the day, I think Trent Bray loves Oregon State, and he will do what's best for Oregon State.
I think that's the possibility. I just don't know. Does Barnes have the charm to do that, to convince Bray this is his idea, go back to being a D coordinator, your life will be better, we shall see. And then what kind of head coach would take, you know, the former head coach being on his staff? It gets kind of messy and
it gets
tricky.
I don't know if Trent would, right? I mean, if I'm Trent Bray, I don't want to stay here as the DC. I mean, then I would look for something else. But I think then the deeper issue is, do you trust Scott Barnes to make the next hire? I mean, I think Beaver fans, I think boosters are in that position of, okay, it's time to nuke the whole thing because this is not working.
Angie Machado with us, Beaver Blitz. I don't know if they can afford it. I look at Barnes' contract, it's a big number. I look at Bray's contract, it's a big number. I look at the financial position they're in, and I'm going, okay, how do they get out of this? And it looks a little dire to me. Further, you've got Wayne Tinkle, the men's basketball coach, in a similar predicament with Barnes. I mean, as we look at Scott Barnes, how much credit do we give him? Do you give him Jonathan Smith? I probably do. But, Wayne Tinkle and Trent Bray, those don't look like home runs.
No, exactly. I mean, and Jonathan Smith he lucked out there. I mean, that was another unknown commodity. He went for the, you know, local boy comes home. That worked out. Jonathan did have a bad hire, and Tim Tibisar, too, that he had to navigate. And so, you know, Coach Bray, I want to give Trent Bray, I think he deserves some leeway, right? A first-time head coach, I don't necessarily like the fact that he went out and got first-time DC and OC and Gunderson and Hayward. Hayward I could handle because you have Trent Bray's total defensive mind. Having a rookie OC in with a rookie head coach, I think, is tough. So I do give him some leeway. But as I said last week in my She Said article, this is the part every head coach I've ever spoken with says the worst part of their job is the personnel side. And this is where Trent Bray needs to step up and be CEO, Trent Bray. So he did part ways with Jamie Christian. I think it was too late. But at the end of the year or whenever he decides to look through this staff and this roster, that is going to be a big, you know, a big question. If he stays on board, what changes is he willing to make? You know, and again, you talk about the money. Scott Barnes was the one that gave Wayne Tinkle the huge salary and the huge extension. Scott Barnes gave himself or talked President Murphy into giving him a contract and a salary that's over twice what his Mountain West new Pac-12 peers are making. Those kind of things are what don't sit well with Beaver Nation.
I like for him to negotiate other deals like he negotiated for himself. Like, you know, I always said that about Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner. Why can't he do that for the Pac-12? He's pretty shrewd.
Exactly. You know, I get it. I get you want to take care of yourself. You're trying to manage the dismantling of an entire conference. Although Beaver fans do, I mean, and fair or not, feel that he should have, when USC and UCLA bolted, he should have been shopping for a landing spot for, you know, the potential for them to fall apart. But Oregon State, Washington State were not desirable, you know, TV markets or anything else. But that doesn't sell well, though. You're seeing all this financial burden, this hardships coming, and then you find yourself and you talk the new president, who is a rookie president in her own right, and you say, hey, I need to make this much more money. She's worried you're going to bolt to Washington, whether that was a real possibility or not, we don't know, and gets a big raise. And now you're still in this dire straits with a department, and you're making a nice big salary. Like I said, Beaver fans, that is their big talking point, and this is what has fired them up in the Lodge of Beaver Blitz.
I also think it doesn't help that UCLA goes and beats Penn State with an interim coach and a new play caller. It makes you people start rubbernecking, going, "Wait a minute, why doesn't Oregon State do something about it?" Simple answer is, I think they would if they had more money. But you tell me, Angie, donors, fans, what is Research Stadium going to look like when Oregon State comes back for a home game?
It's not going to be pretty this weekend. I don't see. I mean, students hopefully will show up. I mean, that's what you hope. But you know, the game last Friday against Houston was pretty dismal, you know, attendance-wise, except for the students. I think this one's going to be even worse for Wake Forest. So at the end of the day, I never like saying, you know, people, you know, should be fired, or I hate that whole, but the worst, right now, Scott Barnes should be happy that fans are ticked off and angry, because the next step is when they become apathetic. And when they become apathetic and when this, you know, diehard fan base becomes apathetic, then you're in real trouble.
Angie, did you get the $1.50 hot dog and soda on your way out of Costco?
I don't like hot dogs. I hate hot dogs. And I'm on like this whole workout trying to get in shape deal. So yeah, I bought, I got a bunch of like healthy stuff.
All right. That's okay. That's all right. I'm glad you got out of there with no damage. I appreciate you making time for us.
It wasn't no damage, but it was minimal. My husband will be happy.
All right. We'll see you in the press box. Beaverblitz.com if you want to read Angie Machado. Thanks, Angie.
Thanks, John.
All right, there she goes, fresh out of it. She got out of there, Steven. You're not a hot dog guy either, and you worked there.
Well, that's the thing is I was a hot dog guy, and then I had too many hot dogs. That was my problem. Because when I was working there, John, I was a college student. So, you know, I first started in the summertime. So it's like, I'm trying to save a buck. You know, $1.50 for a dog and a soda? That's a perfect lunch for, you know, a college kid working a job. So that
Did you only eat one, or what was your record?
Yeah, I'd only go one. And then I got really, you know, I just can't eat them anymore. You get those Costco burps, the Costco dog burps, and then it's all bad downhill from there.
There you go. Well, all right, so what's the peeve of workers? Like, you know, if you're dealing with people coming through the checkout line, or people inside the warehouse, what would workers say is their biggest peeve?
I would say just snottiness, because there's a lot of people that go to Costco, and since they pay for the membership, they expect, like, they treat you like you are lesser than, since you're working there, and, like, hey, you have to, you know, wait on them hand and fist, and that's not how it works.
Because I have a membership. Right. Like Country Club membership.
Yeah, I pay
Bay
a membership.
Club. Oh,
yeah.
I'm the Bay Club. I'm a member at the Bay Club.
You are the help. You are the help. Do exactly what I say right now.
Yeah. Well, get that cardboard box. Put my stuff in it. You know?
And do it quickly.
My peeve is when they don't use a box, and then I get to the car and I just got a bunch of things rolling around in the back of the car. Like, I got a ham back there rolling around with canned goods.
See, I know how important the boxes are at Costco. It's like currency. It's literally like cash. Like, if you have a good box run,
yeah,
you know, you're on fire for the day. So I don't take their boxes because I know how important it is to them. You also need to have hookups. Like, you need to get friends with the produce guy. You need to be friends with the bakery guys. Like, it's huge.
I'm friends with the guys in the meat department.
Well, but I'm talking for boxes though, because they box all those things and then they just leave the boxes. You get a guy, you have a guy back there, they'll bring him up right to your register for you.
There are some advantages to being the sports radio guy and columnist, and one of them is that the Costco meat department guys are sports fans. And so I've had a couple times, Stephen, where I've been in there and I've been looking for crab legs or I've been looking for something else, and they'll come out and they'll say, "What do you need?" And I'll be like, "I was looking for this." And they'll go in the back and they'll come out with exactly what I need. Like, it's all stashed back there. Like, it's Wonkaville back there for meat. So I like that. Are you looking for a rump roast? Just tell them you listen to the BFT. They'll take care of you. All right, leave it here. Our big splash coming up. And guess what? Mario Cristobal at 4 o'clock.